My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We go live to Orchard Park. Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard as we get ready for Week 1 Sunday kickoff. The Cardinals coming into town. Buddy, let's start with injuries. How do we feel about the health of the Bills going into Sunday's kickoff against the Cards?
Oh, it would help. Nope, he's up.
Matt?
You got me?
There we go.
Gotcha,
buddy.
All right. No, I think that going into the mini break here, the news from Sean McDermott and the way they constructed this 53-man roster, I think would make you think that they're in a pretty good spot considering where they were 2 weeks ago. And I think they got a couple safeties that are trying to work their way back. They haven't gone outside of the organization to add anybody after, you know, getting rid of a couple of those depth guys, D. Delaney with an injury settlement, and obviously Kendall Williamson. So I think that they're headed in a good direction. The biggest injury question that we'll have to answer this week is Mitch Trubisky, who was, you know, working his way back from that knee injury, practiced right before the Bills took that little mini break there. Is he going to be healthy enough and sturdy enough to be the backup for the opener? If not, they went out and got Mike White, who's been on the, feed me as much as you possibly can in a little over a week to get ready for week one. That'll be a big question they have to answer here in the next couple of days.
So, Matt, let's start with the offense here, because I get the sense that we, you know, this is true every preseason, but how much do we not know about this Bills offense, meaning what we didn't see here in the preseason? There's a lot of people certainly that have their concerns about the Bills, whatever reason. But to me, Matt, I just don't think we got any kind of feeling from what we saw there in those three preseason games.
Yeah, I think that's by design, right? Like, we didn't get a lot of Dalton Kincaid, which I think if you're preparing to the Arizona Cardinals and you're that defensive coordinator preparing to defend against this offense, what is this thing going to look like? You can go back to last year. There's all that tape, right? But that was with Stephon Diggs still on this team, a completely different, mind frame that this offensive coordinator and Joe Brady was working through. So I think there's a little bit of an element of surprise. I still think they're going to want to be a physical team that's able to run the ball when they want to run the ball. And so I think that's going to mean a lot of James Cook. I think that's going to mean Ty Johnson, who's worked his way back into the role that he's in. And, I think coming out of this thing, I know you asked about the offense, but one of the things that I think is so interesting is that the Bills went out and traded for Brandon Codrington. They put out their depth chart today, and he's not even listed as a defensive back. He is only listed as that specialist returning kicks. And I think they're that excited about him to give up draft capital to get him on the roster to be able to give this offense good field position. To me, that's one of the key metrics that I'm going to be following over the course of the first 4 or 5 weeks is where is the Bills' average starting field position? Because I think as they kind of come into their own offensively, find an identity, they're going to want to give this offense as many short fields as possible or as short a field as they can give them. And I think a lot of that's going to come down to this to the specialist and this exciting return man that they went out and traded for.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you more about the defense as well, Matt, but since you brought up special teams, and I think the data from the preseason suggests that teams might be best served just kicking the ball out of the end zone and giving up the 30. Do you think teams will employ that, or do you think a guy like Codrington can actually give the Bills a bit of an advantage should he actually return any of these kicks?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of hubris in some of these coaching rooms, and I think that there's going to be a lot of special teams coordinators that think that they have this thing figured out, and maybe it's not Arizona, and maybe it's not Miami in week two. We'll see. But I do think that teams are going to want to try to, you know, test out their special teams and see if they can pin people, you know, back within the 20-yard line on the kick return. And there's been times, like, you know, especially if you find a way to kind of kick it. Like, I was watching Bass and Sam Martin throughout the summer, like in the special teams portion, just working on that kickoff. And I'd imagine they just had Martin going through it but a lot of it is because you see the trajectory they're taking on the kick, and it almost reminds me of, like, in baseball, like a slider. Like, they kick it almost down the middle of the between the hashes, but it kind of tails off and goes toward the sideline. And I think the idea there is to make this as hard as possible on return men to return the ball, to field the ball. We saw a couple of times in the preseason where guys, I think it was even on Hard Knocks, I was watching it the other day in the Bills game, when one of the Bears guys fumbled the ball. And I think that's what you're banking on. I was like, there's not a good transfer there. Being able to secure the football, you get down there and you pin a team back. I mean, especially at the beginning of a game, that's a huge possibility to create momentum for your team, especially if you're the Cardinals coming on the road, West Coast to East Coast against the Bills, who have been at the top of the AFC. So I think we're going to see some opportunities for these return men, but it's a great question, and we'll learn a lot about it in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard. I could ask about the defense, but I'm figuring maybe what the defense does here week one, it's the opponent. This is an opponent that the Bills see. Let me be the first to point out to everybody that the last time these two teams played, they came up with a name for the play that beat the Buffalo Bills in that game. So it's been 4 years, a team you don't see very often. Arizona, what is the... it's the biggest concern for their offense. Is it the mobility of Kyler Murray, would you say?
I mean, yes and no. I think it's the unknown of the mobility of Kyler Murray, because last year when he came back from the injury, he wasn't the same mobile Kyler that he was pre-injury. And I think a lot of that is just getting the athleticism back, like getting comfortable moving. And he is a good quarterback in the pocket that at times I think you almost want to, you know, limit the running, limit the injuries. But I think all bets are off. I think this is a huge year for Arizona. I think it's year two of Gannon. And I think they're going to come out and they have that shiny new toy in Marvin Harrison Jr. against a defense that, like, they're probably thinking, okay, look at all the turnover. No Micah Hyde, no Jordan Poyer. Some questions about the front. Matt Milano is going to be out. Like, let's go at them and let's see if they're the defense that they've been under McDermott the last couple of years. So I think that that's a little bit of the unknown, the weapons. I mean, a healthy James Conner is a problem. Getting them in week one means that, you know, depending on what they get with their offensive line, I do think that that's a team that can do some things offensively. And then defensively, against the Bills, that's a big piece of it. I think that they're probably on the, you know, in the bottom third of defenses in the league. We'll see if they can handle this Bills offense, which I think a lot of teams are going to be, you know, who do you key in on when you're game planning against this team? And if they're fully healthy, Curtis Samuel, I actually talked to him right before the break there, the mini break last week, and I asked him about his status with the turf toe and if he'd be good to go. And he kind of laughed. He's like, I'm going to be all right. And, you know, he didn't give me a definitive, but he's trending in a really good direction. And I think, you know, this could be a big Curtis Samuel game too. I think a lot of these new pieces, especially on offense, have a chance to shine against an Arizona team, to your point, that they don't play very often.
Matt, you mentioned no Matt Milano, and maybe that's something that they can exploit, Arizona can exploit offensively. I'm curious as to Dorian Williams and what we could see. Can we see the same kind of trajectory with Dorian Williams that we saw last year with Terrell Bernard, kind of an unknown going into the season, who ends up being a very pleasant surprise? And then also, heading into this weekend, you know, you mentioned no Micah Hyde, no Jordan Poyer. It's Taylor Rapp and
DeMar Hamlin, I think, is probably going to be where they start. If that hamstring is at or close to 100%. I mean, I just think throwing out Mike Edwards at this point, unless you're just super confident in his mental reps and the reps that he's going to get in practice this week, I think you'd go to DeBar Hamlin and see how it goes and then maybe pivot, just because you know he knows the defense. And one of the most important pieces with that position over the years, we've talked to Sean about it. Like, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde knew this thing like the back of their hand. You know, Taylor Rapp's going into year two. He had 4 starts last year. DeMar Hamlin had 15 starts a couple of years ago. He's got more experience than any of these safeties in this defense specifically. You know, throw Cam Lewis into the mix too. He obviously plays a little bit more slot corner as well. So I think that's the big piece of it. On Dorian, it's interesting because I almost go at it more like, he reminds me of the Milano arc more than maybe so the Terrell Bernard arc. That's the expectation I have. I think it's going to be maybe some rough moments at the start, right? Some games where you see some highs, you see maybe some lows, and you know he's trying to figure things out as things go along. There were times, you know, even in training camp when from a coverage perspective, you're like, oh man, I don't know if that was a good rep. And then there's other plays where he's coming downhill, blowing up a run play, times when he was really good in coverage. So I think it's just going to be like, you know, figuring things out on the fly. I think what Terrell Bernard did last year is tough to put on any young player. I mean, it's almost unprecedented the kind of success that he had as a third-round rookie getting vaulted into a starting role like that, especially to call the defense. So I'm bullish on Dorian Williams. I think he's got a chance to do some good things. They have a lot of depth there, too, though. I mean, you think about Nicholas Morrow, even a guy like Baylen Specter, who, of course, every time you turn around, it seems like he's hurt. But if he's available, if he's healthy, he's on this 53-man roster, he's a guy that I think that they could go to if things don't go well early in the season as a guy that's done it. And what a departure that is, because I was talking about 2 weeks ago as like, you know, this guy should probably be cut because of the availability issues. But that was never to say that I don't think that he's very talented and somebody that putting him out there, his coverage ability, I think might be even at this stage a little bit better than Dorian Williams. So that's going to be something I'm watching. Like, you can have the blown coverages. I mean, if you go back over the last couple of years, they're playing some really good offenses out of the gate. Like, if you're having a lot of problems in that intermediate area and a lot of it is on Dorian Williams, you might have to pivot. I know Nicholas Morrow is listed as the backup Mike linebacker. He's played outside before. He's very versatile. That's going to be a storyline that we're tracking the first couple weeks.
Yeah, first time the Bills have opened at home since, they lost to the Steelers a few years ago. And, Matt, we've talked about this, the early part of the schedule, but now that it is here, and the Bills, depending on where you look, 6.5, 7-point favorite, whatever. But we all know, and you're not going to get the players to talk about this, but we all know what's behind this game here. You've got a short week to Miami. You've got another potential playoff team in Jacksonville. You've got 3 straight road games against 3 quality opponents. That all being said, how imperative is it that the Bills actually grab this one coming up against Arizona?
Oh, it's massive. To your all the questions that you just said, I mean, getting the Dolphins on a short week on the road where it's going to be a little bit warmer, even though it's at night, that team traditionally plays so well, and all of the defensive questions. I mean, if you have this first game and you come out here and you struggle with Kyler Murray and that offense, and then you got to turn around and go down to South Beach and figure out a way to deal with Tua and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert. I mean, that's a tough turnaround. So I think that you want to make sure everything is firing at a super high level. Everybody's in a position defensively to make big splash plays and give everybody that's coming up on the schedule something to think about. Like, I'm writing about Greg Rousseau this week. I mean, that's going to be my big weekend story. And it's been such an interesting, you know, summer to watch him as somebody that, and it's fitting that in week 2 it'll be in Miami, and obviously he played his college ball there. Jalen Phillips is coming back from his injury. But he's a guy to me that it's been under-talked about how key of a figure he is in the 2024 Bills season. And it looks so good in that week 2 preseason game in a very short glimpse. But I think that they're going to need that player. If their defense is going to be the top 10 unit it's been over the last couple of years, he is going to have to be a mainstay in the backfield. You know, he's so good against the run, but he's going to have to do it against the pass as well. And I think you look at a guy like him, Ed Oliver, like, they're going to have to set the tone. And, of course, the guy that they, a couple of years ago, signed to a $120 million contract, Von Miller, you know, Sean McDermott is on record saying that he thinks Von Miller's been back this summer. Well, we're going to get to really see it this early week, especially against an offensive line that I don't think is blowing your doors off as you prepare for it. I mean, they should be able to affect Murray a little bit. It's going to be loud in there. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, how the other storyline is, like, how do the Cardinals on the road open the season, first game for Marvin Harrison Jr., how do they handle that environment? That's going to be fun to watch.
Matt, we've seen other teams throughout the NFL unveil their team captains over the course of the last few days. Wondering if we have a timeline on when the Bills might do so. Will they continue to run? What did we have? 8 captains, I want to say, last year. Will they go leaner in terms of who the captains of the teams? What's your projection for who becomes captain for the Buffalo Bills here coming up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, they've always kind of seemed to go the deeper route as they've gone along, but I do think that, like, this is an interesting year. There's so much turnover in the leadership roles. You know, on defense, I think guys like Bernard are in the mix, Taron Johnson, even a guy like Ed Oliver, who I don't think usually screams, you know, active, loud leader, but somebody that I think a lot of them look to, especially in that defensive line group. I mentioned this on a podcast recently. I think it was before the second preseason game, or maybe the first. I can't remember exactly now, but he kind of like brought the defensive line together. I was down on the field for Buffalo Kickoff Live, and I'm usually not down there for that part of it. And it was just amazing to see how he got everybody rounded up and the way they all responded to him. Like the looks on the faces of some of these young pass rushers and some of these young interior defensive linemen. I mean, he's the guy in that room now. And so I think you're looking at him. I think on the offensive side, obviously Josh Allen, I think Matt Collins could be like a dual threat, special teams / offensive captain. And then they'll probably come with like Reed Ferguson still, but I don't know. I mean, I think this could be the lowest number of captains they've had since maybe 2019, 2020.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Matt, sometimes we take Josh Allen for granted, right? The things that he does. If, you know, the Bills didn't have him, I don't know where we'd be penciling in the Bills in the standings. Here's my question. It's not necessarily an MVP question, and I'm just looking at the odds right now. I think it's kind of silly that C.J. Stroud is at +800 while Josh Allen's at +900. But if the Bills get that sort of season out of Josh Allen, like, what, from what you've seen here going from the spring to the summer to a little bit of the preseason, your thoughts on Allen, and can he even improve his game here in 2024?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, he's got the kind of gauntlet of teams that he's got to run through that if he puts up similar numbers to a year ago, I don't know how you deny him, especially taking Stephon Diggs. Like, even though Diggs down the stretch was really a non-factor most of the time, I still think that the cachet that he brings, the reputation that he has, you know, builds into some of the evaluation. And I think now when you look across this offense, there's some good young players, but there's not the household name. So I think if you're Josh Allen and you go out there and you lead the Bills to another AFC East title, you're in the contention, you know, among those top teams in the AFC, and there's not like a runaway. See, that was the big problem last year, is like I felt like people more voted for the Ravens than they did vote for Lamar Jackson. And he had a good year, but it's funny. I was listening to a podcast today, Bill Barnwell, and he had on Dominique Foxworth and Mina Kimes, and Foxworth was talking about the Ravens and how he thinks that they're the best team in the league. And I hear a lot of people say that, and I'm just like, I just don't see it. I think that they have a great roster. I think that they are a very good regular season team. But they're not a team that, like, when you get into the postseason with Lamar Jackson's checkered playoff history, that I'm having a lot of confidence in. And if you even put Lamar's numbers next to Allen's last year, and I know this probably sounds like a homer take, I just think Allen outplayed him in so many dramatic ways. And I still thought that Lamar Jackson had a good season. I just didn't think he was the most valuable player. I think that the roster on paper was really good as opposed to what Josh Allen was dealing with. So I think now more than ever, with Diggs out of the picture, his case will be stronger if he has that kind of year again.
Matt, you're closer to the blast zone than we are in Rochester, and I'm curious to know, as somebody who's in Buffalo, who's around the team, absorbs all things Bills media. I mean, we bring you on to talk about the players and the plays and the games and the matchups, but how big of a story is this PSL story that the team has only sold just over 3,600 up to this point here with the stadium opening up in 2026?
I mean, the PSL thing is going to be something that is worth talking about, a big story, until the new stadium opens. I mean, it's every time I meet a Bills season ticket holder, and the first thing out of their mouth is usually like, what do you think of the team this year? What do you think of the team that week, if it's the regular season, whatever. The next thing that we talk about is, man, they're really killing me with these PSLs. And like, the majority of people I talk to are literally trying to financially figure out how they can shoehorn this new large cost into their you know, family's budget. I mean, that's a huge deal. Like, when you're thinking about, can I be a season ticket holder? I mean, from year to year, you're thinking about, okay, it's like a what, $1,500 to $3,000 investment, depending on how good your seats are, you know, at times. I don't have the exact numbers in front of my face. But now you're not only talking about a ticket license where you just have to pay to play. Now you're actually talking about that on top of what is going to be the raised cost of the season tickets themselves. So this is going to continue to be a problem. It's going to continue to be a story. It's going to be something that, and I say problem because there is a certain percentage of the fan base that is financially dealing with the ramifications of this for them personally, and whether or not this is even possible. Like, that's the other thing. Like, sometimes, you know, you're so well off, or you're well off enough that you can figure out a way to move some money around and figure something out. But for some people, that's a luxury they don't have. So that's a real challenge. And if you feel like you've been, like, you haven't been heard, or that you're the portion of the fan base that, you know, it's not that big a deal, or we'll move on without you, that's a painful thing to deal with and stress about, especially like if you're a parent and you take your kid, or you're a person that takes another family member. It's part of your tradition. There's a lot that goes into this, guys, and it's something that I totally understand the angst and the stress, and it's a shame because I think at heart, we always talk about, you always hear whenever Terry Pegula has talked about this team, and even when they were building the stadium and talking about, like, we don't want a dome because, like, it's a blue-collar town, it's a hard-nosed town. It's like, well, yeah, know your audience. And so for all these folks to be dealing with this, you know, as somebody that's from Buffalo, that's from the region, that's tough. I have a lot of family members that are in this boat. So it's going to continue to be a story.
Yeah, and Matt, last one for me on this, and it's a follow-up to that. And I don't know if these stories are connected, and if so, to what degree. But we also have, you know, we know that Terry Pegula perhaps entertaining offers to sell part of the Buffalo Bills, whether that's to a private equity group or maybe a bigger chunk. Who really knows? But I'm just wondering, well, is that you're responsible for whatever it is that the PSLs don't cover there? And I'm just wondering, you know, what is kind of the health of the organization if you're going to sell part of the team?
I don't know. I think that, like, I don't know if I would necessarily be comfortable connecting those two dots. Like, I think that with a lot of these owners across the league, that's going to be something that they consider, like even separate of whether or not they need to cover stadium costs or otherwise. I think to give somebody a percentage of the organization, especially like a guy like Terry, who, you know, whose family, you know, everything that's been documented about what's gone on with Kim and what's the eventual transition plan going to be and how involved his family is going to be. There's always those kinds of factors involved. And, you know, I don't know. It's hard to wrap your head around everything that's going to happen with this long term and how much that has an effect on everything. But I will just say that it is just kind of a bummer that so many Bills fans have to be overly stressed out about something that they've probably done in some cases for 20, 30 years.
Matt, by this time next week, we'll be reacting to week one against Arizona. But before we get to that, I know that you and Ryan and the whole team over there are looking forward to Sunday and preparing as such. What do you have on tap this week that we can check out?
Yeah, we'll have I mentioned that Greg Rousseau story. I'm going to be working that this week. It'll be up later at the site. We'll have our season prediction story tomorrow. So we'll go game by game and take you through our thoughts. Both of us are still pretty bullish on this team, so I think Bills fans will enjoy the read. I know Diana Russini put out a story this week where one of her big, bad, bold predictions was the Bills taking a step back. I thought that was interesting. She had that whole Eric Armstead Eric Armstead story.
Oh, right.
He was coming to sign with the Bills this offseason, and I don't know if a lot of Bills folks were happy with that story, so I thought that was funny that she's predicting that now. But anyway, we're bullish on the Bills still. I think that they're going to win 11 or 12 games. We'll have that on the site here over the next 24 hours. And then, man, it's shout season. We're going to be with three this week.
Oh, when's the first one? Tomorrow night?
First one is tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon, drive time, because I think I got to go do I'm going to do another podcast, a live event with Howard Simon, with our buddy Pat Moran. So it's all Bills all the time this week, boys. There's no rest for the wicked.
I'm going to try the bull rush technique. Cause Sunday, I'm going to be out of the stadium, Matt. And in case, you know, Ryan or you guys get a little busy there Sunday, I'm happy. I'll be in the locker room. I might be over in the Arizona locker room. Whatever you need, buddy.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you making yourself available because you know what they say. The best ability is availability, Gino.
We are in mid-season form. Happy New Year, Matt. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week, buddy.
Later, boys.
You got it. Matt Parrino covering the Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Read his work at Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com, and check out the Shout podcast as well with Ryan Talbot.
Do you connect the dots? And again, if anybody, what you kind of mentioned there, there's a story, Dave McKinley, had it. What's a little over 3,000 PSLs have been sold?
3,600.
Okay. That's concerning. But on the other hand, I know many Bills season ticket holders that haven't been reached out to.
I actually thought 3,600, believe it or not, I thought that was actually higher than what I thought.
Okay.
So, like, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, it's not great, but it's actually more than what I thought it was going to be.
I still want to know. Maybe somebody that is good with high finance and that store stuff. Why is Terry Pegula now selling a chunk of the team? What are the benefits? Or is there a problem he's looking to cover up?
I think he might be preparing for a cost that he didn't prepare for, and therefore you could have the private equity firm kind of cover up and mask that deficiency, if that deficiency exists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this seems like the plan B.
Yeah.
And if plan A goes, no problem, and I've got all this cash.
Because the PSLs pay for the stadium.
The PSLs
pay for the Pegula's portion of the stadium.
Correct.
Yeah. Not pay for the stadium. I shouldn't say that because we all know who's paying for the stadium. But if you don't have, you know, if you don't have that money, then who else is going to chip in? Enter private and 10%, right? 10% ownership, private equity firm. There you go. Found money.
Yeah. So Matt's format's a little different than ours, where if he says, oh, yeah, I could definitely connect the dots, then that becomes a story if you don't really have the facts. I'm just wondering, can you connect the dots? And if I'm just wondering, yeah, I'm going to connect the dots in my brain.
That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
It's exactly what's going on. It's exactly why he threw it out there. Hey, anybody interested in this? Just in case.
Like a quick story, too. So we have a contact, Danger, that had an appointment and decided, all right, the Bills have been, hey, you got to come. Now, so if you're not familiar with the PSLs, they're starting with all the high-end seats. They've been going through that. Finally, a friend of ours got tapped, and they've been pushing it off. You can't do this online. You can't do it over the phone. You actually have to get in your car, which for in Rochester, that's not really convenient. Go to Buffalo, okay, and do this during a business day. And our friend was like, all right, you know, I'll do it the Friday before Labor Day weekend. It'll be a slow day. Well, guess what? It's a family guy. All of a sudden, wasn't slow. So he had to cancel the appointment and said, well, all right, we'll figure something out. Doesn't he get a call back on Labor Day?
Yeah.
Wait, Labor Day, a holiday?
Uh-huh.
Okay, does that not smell of desperation?
Mm-hmm.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted.
You're going to get sick of Glengarry Glen Ross by the time the stadium is built.
Right, and a friend played me the voicemail. Legally, we can't play the voicemail.
No,
right?
But like, we can tell you what the voicemail's contents were.
Yeah, exactly. How things are selling at a rapid pace. That was literally the ticket. Really? Rapid pace.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, we've sold a whole 3,600 of these.
Wow.
Yeah. I think the audacity of calling on a holiday says all you need to know. It's Labor Day, but we're not letting up. We're going to come after you on Labor Day.
Why not call us?
Leave me the hell alone, man. It's Labor Day. Don't call me for anything on Labor Day.
We all live busy lives. And the time you get on a long weekend, and whenever work intrudes, whether that's an email, a phone call, anything, that's just going to rub you the wrong way. So to me, that's bad business by the Buffalo Bills, bugging people on a holiday.
Not great. Coming up next in the sports bar. Mentioned Happy New Year. Gene's excited. You can hear him. You can hear him. It's time. It's time for Gene's Survive in Advance Week 1 Survivor Football Pick. We'll start to roll out some of our bold predictions for the 2024 season. And we'll be joined by NFL Network's Michael F. Florio. We'll talk some fantasy football with F before 5 o'clock in happy hour. All on the way in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.